You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. There was an Idaho case before the Ninth Circuit Court that could set a national precedent. A transgender inmate serving a 9-year sentence for sexual abuse of a child under 16 is suing the state to get gender reassignment surgery. And if she wins, she will become the first transgender person in the nation to receive this surgery through court order. And we want to hear what you think about this. Give us a call at 208-426-3625. Again, that's 208-426-3625. And leave a message with our newsroom, and we might end up using your voice in our reporting here at Boise State Public Radio News. Again, that number to call, 208-426-3625. Patient care continues to advance here in our area, and one way that's happening is through perioperative medicine. Now, this concept has the ability to have better outcomes for patients, but also reduces the cost of care. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this are Dr. Elizabeth Olberding and Lauren Smith, the Ortho Neuro Services Administrator with St. Luke's. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Olberding, I just want to start with you. You opened the first clinic in 2012, but tell me exactly what perioperative medicine is.
Thank you so much. So I'm an internal medicine physician and a hospitalist, but we also in hospital medicine have embraced perioperative care, which includes preoperative evaluation of patients, but we also see a lot of patients throughout the spectrum of care in the hospital because we do a lot of surgical co-management. Preoperative medicine is really looking at the realities of an aging population in America with an increasing volume of patients getting elective surgeries. So this is primarily patients who are having elective surgeries, not urgent or emergent surgeries. We manage those also. But patients who are having elective surgeries in the sense of orthopedic or neurosurgical procedures.
Like a hip replacement, something like that.
Absolutely. What we know is that many patients are older and they have a higher burden of illness now. So we like to see those folks preoperatively so that we can both determine if they have any risk factors that could lead to complications with surgery, help optimize their identified medical problems, look for any unknown medical problems that need to be addressed before undergoing the stress of a surgical procedure, and then putting together an independent patient-centered plan for their perioperative care, aligning with the surgeon and then also helping anesthesia so that they are really seeing patients that are in better shape and better optimized before having a surgical procedure. The real goals are to make it safer for the patient, to also utilize preoperative testing in a cost-effective manner so we're not over-testing and doing tests on people who don't need it, and then also having a plan so that after surgery, the hospital medicine team or the surgeons have a really good plan to manage the medical problems postoperatively.
Because sometimes if you have surgery, you go in, you have the surgeon and you might meet with the surgeon once or twice before and then meet with them maybe in the hospital, but then you go back to your primary care physician. So Lauren, does it kind of start to bridge that gap between, you know, your primary care doctor and maybe a surgical team?
It really does. And what we were identifying on the orthopedic side is that patients had a lot of confusion around where am I supposed to be next? Who's helping me navigate my care? And to get to the bottom of why patients were confused, we had an issue with they weren't arriving to surgery on time, or they weren't sure which medications to start taking, stop taking all prior to surgery in preparation. And we were seeing last-minute cancellations of surgeries. Mm. So to troubleshoot that, I took the time to go and follow a number of our patients through that process to really get a better understanding of what was happening. So met with Dr. Olberding and her team and really identified, hey, if we are more aligned here in what we're communicating with the patients, that everybody ends up having a better experience. And so really taking that extra step to partner with everybody, not just with insight within the orthopedic service line itself.
And Dr. Olberding, like I mentioned, you opened a clinic in 2012 that is specific to this model.
Correct. So we have the clinic opened in 2012. We're actually working on our strategic plannings to expand because we're really busy and need to offer the services to more patients. We do have an algorithm. So we did a lot of education with the surgeons' offices, including ortho and neurosurgery. We also see a lot of general surgery, urologic, and bariatrics patients. Mm-hmm. And we have an algorithm because there are plenty of patients who are even if they're older, they're very healthy and they don't need to see us. They're seen and assessed by what are called the pre-admission testing nurses. Mm-hmm. But through our algorithm, then we've identified the patients with medical issues that would benefit from seeing us. Certainly, primary care doctors can absolutely do the work that we do. And if they have the time and can see these patients and do this work in a timely fashion, we support that completely. Often, primary care folks are also really busy.
Right.
And so they're happy to have us see our patient to do this work because we also have the pre-admission testing nurse there. So we get a lot of information done at this visit.
And it can be tricky to get appointments to all line up in the right order,
right,
too, from the primary care provider to the orthopedic surgeon to their actual day of surgery.
So talk to me then about cost of care, because it seems like one of the benefits of this is that the cost for a patient could potentially be less, especially, as you said, Dr. Olbring, if you're taking out potential risk factors and all of that. Is that part of that?
Well, it is part of it. And I think one of the things that if you look at this nationally, because there are plenty of systems that have very robust preoperative clinics. Mm-hmm. Ours, I think, is still in its earlier days. But one of the things you do is you really try to work within the team to make sure that you are not doing unnecessary preoperative lab testing. So we've developed a protocol to guide what is important to do preoperatively in terms of testing. I work really closely with anesthesia, so we all understand what their expectations are. So we are trying to decrease unnecessary utilization of preoperative testing. We also do come up with a subset of patients who have risk factors that need further evaluation, usually cardiac, before surgery, but we try to make sure that we are not overutilizing the cardiology services for further testing, echocardiograms of the heart or cardiac stress testing. We have very tight protocols. We work with cardiology to make sure we're trying to order the right test on the right patient. And they also help us get it done in a timely fashion. So if we identify a problem, we still work really hard to get that done before the scheduled surgery date. As long as my team is seeing those patients within 2 or 3 weeks of the surgery, we can usually coordinate all of that and get it done in a timely fashion, because our goal is to have a safe patient with a good outcome, but we don't want to delay surgery unless we absolutely have to.
And have unnecessary things, as you said, like if there's blood work that doesn't necessarily have to be done. I mean, that cost goes back to the patient. So if you are taking that cost out of it, that's huge for people.
Right. Right.
Or all of the accommodations that people go through to get ready for surgery, mm-hmm. and then to have your surgery canceled when maybe you had a family member come to stay with you or take time off
work. Or you took time off work, right.
And now it's canceled because you have an underlying cardiac or heart problem that you didn't otherwise realize, but we pick those things up then through these services.
How have patients reacted to this model of care?
I think for the most part, most of our patients really like it. I think that what we see are people who maybe had their initial joint surgeries 7 or 8 or 9 years ago, and this level of attention wasn't paid to them. And so they come and see us now, and some of them are like, well, this hasn't happened before, but then we explain why. And most of them find it really comforting, mm-hmm. and they get a lot of education. Where in the past, again, as Lauren has said, sometimes it was a little discoordinated, mm-hmm. and now they get a lot of information from the pre-admission testing nurse. They feel much more comfortable about what they're supposed to do with their medications, what the issues are. So for the most part, it's been very well accepted.
We always have somebody.
And I just do my best to make sure that they understand we're doing this to make it better for them.
Well, and I think, too, if anyone has ever had surgery, it's overwhelming and it's scary. And when you feel like as a patient you don't have the information, the last thing you want to do is walk through those doors. And has that been part of the taking that scariness away, Lauren?
Absolutely. So it's kind of one more checkpoint for those patients to feel like they get an opportunity to ask questions, they're clear on what's mm-hmm. going to happen on that day of surgery. And we have a regularly occurring, we call it the joint reunion, where patients come back in, they tell us about their experience, we give them lunch, we ask about who's traveled the furthest since their joint surgery. So we really work to make it a fun event, but we also collect a lot of feedback from our patients. And one very positive thing that we've gotten a lot of feedback on over the last year and a half is how much they appreciated the preparedness efforts that happened prior to them even walking through the threshold of the hospital on that day of surgery. They feel even more prepared then to go home and take care of themselves and be successful following their joint replacement.
I want to thank both of you for coming in and talking about this today. Good information. My guests today have been Dr. Elizabeth Olberding and Lauren Smith. She is the Ortho Neuroservices Administrator with St. Luke's. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
You.